We know that midos, the various traits of human character, emotions that exist within us, are very powerful, and very often we don't realize the full extent of the power of these emotions. The Torah tells us that Batekana Rochel Ba'achoiso, Rochel was jealous of Leah that she had children and Rochel didn't. And of course Yaakov responded, he was upset, you know, that that she came to him with a taina and he was upset and that she's Pilu, it's up to him. Okay. But she had this jealousy. Of course, we know that when we speak about the Ovois and the Imohois, we're not talking about Midois in the rough and maybe lowly dimensions that we experience ourselves today. We're talking about super giants who, if they had Kino, it was ever so slight that if the Torah and Chazal didn't point it out to us, we would never be able to discern it, no matter what. Everything was what we call dachistic. Everything was very, very minuscule, microscopic. Maybe you need a microscope to blow it up to see that it resembles something that we call Kino. But the Torah writes it this way, so we should learn lessons from it that apply to us. So the Ralbag says in the Toelius of this posuk at the end of the parasha, he says like this: a Toelius is bemidas for who sheroy lehisrachek bemidas hakino ki himido pchusab meoid. One should stay far away from jealousy to avoid being jealous at all costs, because it's a mido pchus, it's a very lowly mido. You see this, why? Rochel only wanted children, only because she was jealous of Leo. The Torah says, and she said, bring me children. I want children. So he says, because of that, she only got the response to her request through very great difficulty. She actually died at the in childbirth. Okay, and oh, v'hoyu ze gam kein sibo el shiyud v'reo im shlemuso be'oifen shekos. These words that she said were enough, even though she was such a great person. Be'oifen shekos oleo Yaakov b'mashesholo b'menu shi'ita l'bonim. It brought her to something that was even worthy of Yaakov's response with kas when she asked that he should ke'ilu give her children. It seems to me that there's something very strange in this Ralbag. He says, "Ulazet tira, kinos amida prusas a terrible amida ki mipnei shloi choshko Rochel babonim ki im alzad hakino b'achoisa." Rochel only wanted children because of her jealousy, and therefore she was punished. Yaakov got angry at her. She was punished that she died in childbirth because she only wanted children because of jealousy. I ask you, is that the only reason that Rochel wanted children? Rochel knew, the Imohis knew, that the future of Klal Yisrael is from them. She wanted a chelek in Klal Yisrael. She was a woman. She wanted children. It's a natural thing for every woman. And a woman who knew, and the Imohis knew, they were Nevi'os, they knew that the Shivtei Kor were coming from them. So that means that she is, if she doesn't have children, She loses out in the schus. She would have no chelik in everything that's going on here today. She have no chelik in the Torah. She have no chelik in the osir of Klal Yisrael.
Maybe that was the
kinnah. Whoa. Let me just, yeah. She would have no chelik in anything. There were natural, there's natural as a woman, there's natural desires that are beyond kinnah. There's the mission in life that she certainly had that she would be deprived of. And the Torah says, "Vatakane rochav achoyso," and she said to Yaakov, "Hova libonim." And the Rabbag says, "You see how terrible kino is, because it was mipnei shloi choshko rochav babonim ki im al tzad hakino b'achoyso." She only wanted children al tzad the kino because of the fact that she was jealous of her sister. I think what this means is something very, very scary, and that is that a midah of kino can overwhelm the greatest, most powerful, natural desires, healthy, normal, appropriate desires that a person has, and she becomes consumed by the midah of kino. And therefore, when it comes l'maisa, the Torah is made, v'atakane rocho b'achoyso, and Rabbag says, we see from here that kino took over everything else. And now, this woman, who as a woman would want children, who has a potential aim, one of the emois of Klal Yisrael, would certainly want to be part of the Shivtei Kor, of the progenitors of the Shivtei Kor, and yet no, because of that dakus of jealousy that she had, she no longer, it overwhelmed all of these other motivations and desires, ke'ilo they didn't exist. And why did she want children at this point? Why was she punished for it? And why was she taken to task by Yaakov? Because she wanted children just because she was Mekana, her sister. So it's scary to think how powerful midas can be, that they can not just motivate me to do something with a piece of negativity, with something inappropriate, but they can overwhelm all the appropriateness, all the other desires and motivations and yearnings and cravings that I have, and now I want children only for one purpose. That kina has ke'ilu overwhelmed, maybe obliterated, I don't know, but it made it that I now at this point, because of my kina, have only one thing going on in my mind, in my heart, and that's it. I want children because my sister has children. That's the power of a midah. So I think that certainly is when we talk about tikkun hamidahs, and we talk about the importance of refining midahs and purifying and refining our character and removing midos that are inappropriate. Certainly when we see the extent of the damage that a midah, a pchusa, a midah raw can do, it certainly can serve as a motivation to a greater effort in tikkun hamidos. So we know tikkun hamidos, when Chazal say the whole purpose of the mitzvahs is litzarif benes habriyos, to remove the impurities. The Goyin is quoted approximately in the Evan Shlema as saying, if not for tikkun hamidos, lo melichayim. It's not exactly as loshen the way he says it, but that's the way they quote it. If not for tikkun hamidos, what do I have to live for? This is mamish essential. So we see its power. I just like one more thing very quickly. A famous Gemara about Rabbi Akiva, where the Romans had a gzera that they weren't allowed to learn and to teach Torah barabim, and the Gemara says, "Torah rabbonim pam achas gozer malchus harisho shlo yasku Yisrael b'Torah." There was a gzera that they're not allowed to be oisik b'Torah. Bo popus ben Yehuda umotzel Rabbi Akiva shoyim makil kehilas barabim veoisik b'Torah. Rabbi Akiva was gathering people together publicly, public lectures, and teaching Torah, learning with them. Omalei Akiva. Yeah, Thomas, you're in Mipnei Malchus. Aren't you afraid of the Malchus of the Romans? They're gonna, you know, there's serious consequences for violating their gzeras. Omaloi, emshel chamoshel, famous moshel. Lamor hadavad deima l'shul shoyim ahalech al gav anar. A fox was on the bank of the river. V'ro adogim shoyim miskabsim imokam imokam. Fish were running away. One were escaping, running. Omalohem mipnei ma'atem borchim. What are you running away from? Omaloi mipnei rishtois shemavi. For the nets of the fishermen. I don't know what that means exactly, but you want to come up on land and we'll live together on land? So we get out of the water if you're afraid of the fishermen's nets. They say about you, you're the wisest of the animals. You're a fool. What about in a place of our life where our chiyus is, that we're going to be afraid in the water? That's where we breathe from, and we're still afraid. In the place of our death, how much more so? So of course we're not coming on dry land. He says, now that we're Isaac Batura, where the Pasuk says about it that this is our life. He says, if we have to be afraid when we're Isaac Batura, if we're going to be mavatl, how much more so? So Rabbi Kiva told him, he says, it's lat shayach. He says, this is our life. In the place of our life, we have to worry about the Romans. If we stop living, we certainly go on dry land. We certainly have to worry about the Xeris, and therefore he's going to continue to teach. Omru, Lohoyu, they said, Lohoyu yomim mewotim achetovsu Rabbi Akiva. Not too many days passed until they captured, the Romans captured Rabbi Akiva. Vechavshuhu bebeis hasurim, they put him in jail. Vetovsu lepopis ben Yehuda, he also got a hold of Popis, who I guess was not teaching Barabim. Vechoshvu etzle, and they put him in the same cell together with Rabbi Akiva. Omeloi Popis, mi avircholakan. He says to him, Popis, how'd you get here? Omeloi ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, you're so fortunate. Shenetfastod. You were grabbed and put into prison because of teaching. I was taken here for nonsense. So you're so much more fortunate. Okay. Bishai, just forgive me, but I just think that's beautiful. Bishor Shotzias Rabbi Akiva Lahariga, when they brought Rabbi Akiva out to kill him, because the gzera was that you should be killed if you teach Torah Barabim. Zman Krishma Hoyo. It was the Zman Kriyashma. For Hoyu. Sorkin espesori b'masreka shel barzel, and they were grating his skin, his body with iron pitchforks, I don't know, something like that, to torture him. V'hoye mekabel olav ol malchus shemayim, and he was mekabel le malchus shemayim. It was the zman krishma, so it's time to say krishma. So he was mekabel le malchus shemayim. Omru loy talmid of rabbeinu adkan. Says so much adkan, whether that means adkan, that look what's happening to you, or adkan, now you're saying krishma be makabul malchus shamayim, I don't know, but they weren't too happy with the situation. So that, look how terrible the situation is. Omalahem kol yoma hiisi mitzayir al posuk zeh b'chol nafshecho afilu noiteles nashmosecho. I was always mitzayir when I said lo v'avtes Hashem elikecho b'chol nafshecho, even if he takes your life. Omarti mosa yovo ele yodi v'akaymenu. And now that I have this opportunity, I shouldn't be makayim this mitzvah. Hoya marich be'echod atchiyoso nishmoso. He was marich Hashem echod, and he was marich in the echod until his neshama left. Yotzo baskov omra ashrecho Rabbi Akiva sheyotzo nishmosko be'echod. Yeah. You were fortunate, Rabbi Akiva, that your neshama went out as you said, Shem echod. Okay, the rest is not nogea to this. So I just—it's very interesting what it says over here. It's—he says to him, the Talmidim said to him, he says, Rabbi Akiva, look what's going on. They're killing you right now. This bechlau is like, you know, an overwhelming, painful, tragic situation. And it's the zman krishma, the Gemara tells us, and you're being mekabel the malchus shamayim. So they complain. Something's wrong over here. It's not clear what that adkan means. But he says to them, he seems from his answer, seems that that's what the adkan meant, but it seems from his answer, he says as follows, he says, I'm waiting my whole life for this opportunity. What was he waiting his whole life for the opportunity? For this opportunity. What's the opportunity? It's because it says, V'haftas Hashem lekech v'chol nafshecho, afilu notles nafshecho. Mosa yove leyodi v'akaymenu. I'm waiting for this to come that I should be mekayim. What should he be mekayim? What's he talking about? Should love Hashem b'chol nafshecho, afilu hu noteles nafshecho. So, mekayim, they're killing you. What are you mekayim? Teretz is, that's why the Gemara tells us that, he's mekayim being mekabel the malchus shamayim b'shas that he's dying. He waited his whole life to be able to be mekayim v'ahavtes Hashem elokecho, which is Kabbalah so Malchus Shemayim. That's what the Gemara says. The Mishnah in Brochas tells us that the first parsha of Kriya Shema is called Kabbalah so Malchus Shemayim. That's what it's all about. V'hafis Hashem Elokecho is Kabbalah so Malchus Shemayim. So he said that I waited my whole life to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim Afilu Hu Noiteles Nafshecho. I love Hashem so much. That love is so intense that I waited my whole life for the ultimate expression of that love. What's the ultimate expression of that love? You now are killing me. You're taking my life. Afilu hu noitel es nafshecho. Noitel means Hashem. It couldn't happen without Hashem. He's noitel es nafshecho, and I'm expressing my love. You know what I want to do right now? I want to be mekabel de malchus shamayim, that you accept you as my master, and I obligate myself to serve you with everything at the last moment of my life, when I'm not going to be around to serve you anymore. But I waited my whole life to be mekabel de malchus shamayim at that last moment when you're taking my life from me, because that's the ultimate expression. I love Hashem. I love Hashem. Mahu Ava, Rashi says, I learned my whole life. Learning Torah is the expression of loving Hashem. I love Hashem. B'chol levovcho, I serve with my yetzahora as well. B'chol moidecho, I'm willing to give up all my money for it. B'chol mido mido, anytime he does anything to me, I'm moide loyal kol midos, because I know everything is from Hashem. It's all a factor of my love of Hashem. But I'm waiting my whole life to express it in the ultimate, which is at the moment that you're taking my life, I am oisek in the ultimate expression of my love to you. Once more, one last time, to say, to declare how I am your Eved. I think that Be'etzim, that this concept certainly seems to be far away from us. But then again, most of the concepts that we learn about the Ovois and about the Tanoim, about Amoroim, and even about greater people and great people throughout our history are somewhat removed from us. But our concept of Musar and our philosophy of life is that when we have a dogma of greatness, from that dogma of greatness, we can internalize a message, and we can become more closer to or elevate ourselves towards that direction of becoming more like Rabbi Akiva. We won't reach that. Maybe we will. Who knows? Some people maybe did. I don't know. But at least we enhance our own greatness and our own levels of Avas Hashem and potential for Mesiras Nefesh by seeing the picture of Rabbi Akiva. This was the famous Shmuas that we heard that the Rosh Yeshiva said many times, where the Gemara says Hillel was Machayev Aniyim. That because of Hillel's learning Torah in such poverty, that Aniyim today are Machuyev to learn even though they're poor. So the Rosh Yeshiva asked the Kasha, what's the Shaychus Hillel to the Aniyim? Morav Shach. If the Oni has the potential to learn, he's Chayev to learn. If there wouldn't have been a Hillel in the world, and if the Oni doesn't have the potential to learn, then he's potter from learning even though there was a Hillel in the world. So what's Hillel Machayev Aniyim? It's irrelevant to the Aniyim. The Teres is Poshit. He said, because the existence of a Hillel in the world, the picture of a Hillel on the roof in the snow, covered with the snow, freezing cold, because he didn't have the two, whatever it was, to get into the Beis Medrash, the money, so he's sitting there and listening to the Shir from Shmaev Avtalion, that picture creates new potential. He's Mechayev Aniyim, because we now have greater potential to learn Torah B'dachkus because of the picture of Hillel doing it the way he did it. That existence of Hillel elevates my potential. Now I become more mechuyev in learning bedachkus, ba'anius, just because I saw there was such a person as Hillel. The same thing, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, his entire life, saying Kriya Shema, being mekabel malchus shamayim, v'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha, waiting, when will I have the opportunity, as Hashem is taking my life, to be able to express my love for Him in such a way that, what am I doing? You're taking my life, and I'm being mekabel malchus shamayim, declaring once more my commitment, my loyalty to serve you. says that image, which may be way beyond us, but just like Hillel is Mechayev Aniyim, that image can help us. Looking at that, hearing about that, thinking about that, seeing that picture can elevate us closer and closer. And even if we won't reach, it's like it's unlikely to reach the level of Rabbi Akiva, but we grow step by step. Every time we look at that image, we enhance our own capacity to truly be Mekayim.